thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, from verse 8. And in the same region, that's the same region where just in the previous verses, of course, we see the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth be peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Wonderful. I hope it never gets old for you. Normally at this time of year, cute little kids will dress up in their wee nighties with their dish towel tied to their heads. They are, of course, the shepherds in the Christmas story. You see those wee dish towels just perched precariously on their heads, and you wonder if it's going to fall off or stay there. Shepherds. But why shepherds? What exactly do shepherds have to do with the coming of the King of Glory? Why not fishermen or farmers? Why not prime ministers or princes? We can maybe see a kind of symbolism connecting shepherds to the birth of Jesus, the Lamb of God. But is there a part in the Christmas story just merely symbolic somehow? Some have speculated, of course, that these shepherds, being so close to Jerusalem, would have been looking after sheep and lambs that would have been used in the temple sacrifices. And that's possible too. But there's much, much, much more to it than that. The shepherds are in the Christmas story because God wants us to see what happens when the ordinary meets the extraordinary, and when the natural encounters the supernatural. That's why they're there. So what happens? What is it that happens when the natural encounters the supernatural? Well, things change. Things change. Circumstances change. Lives change. I want us to trace the journey of these shepherds. Like every journey of faith, it begins in darkness. And we see three steps in the journey of faith. The first step, shock and awe. The second step, look and listen. The third step, prove and proclaim. So the first step, shock and awe, verses 8 and 9. Every journey of faith begins in darkness. Every journey of faith. These shepherds were watching over their flock by night. It was a dark time. Who knows if they were still themselves in that place of spiritual darkness, but they were definitely a place of darkness. As we know, shepherds are regarded as very low status as far as their place in society is concerned. They're among the poorest of the poor, doing an essential job that very few appreciate. It sounds like so many people today. Their lives are characterized by humdrum and dreariness. They're regarded as insignificant, irrelevant, unimportant. And that's what makes this encounter more than just surprising. It really is shock and awe for them and for all who look down upon them as they tell the story. And they think to themselves, how on earth could God ever come in this way and talk to these nobodies? That's the point. That's the whole reason why they're there. So their faith journey begins in mundane ordinariness. But they'll never be the same again. Never. Take note of this, and we'll refer back to this when we come further on in the sermon this morning. But take note of this. The angels appeared to these shepherds just as they are. How they have always been. Glorious, bright, spectacular, beaming with the glory of God. Their radiance filling the night skies, just as they are. And the shepherds were terrified. Verse 9, they were filled with great fear. The Greek is this, phobio, phobos, megas. Phobio, phobos, megas. Which suggests kind of something kind of fearful and huge. Phobio means reverent awe. A real reverence. Phobos, in this context, means a kind of slavish fear, a cringing fear. And megas, of course, means great or substantial. So there's a significant sense of reverence and awe mixed with cringing, slavish kind of fear. And both of these emotions have exploded into their minds as they see this incredible sight that is before them. The turmoil in their hearts, in the midst of all of this, means one thing. God's got their attention. That's what it means. It means God's got their attention. All of it. And that's the real point of any spiritual encounter with God, is it not? That he gets our attention and God gets their undivided attention and they sit up and they take notice. There's nothing to distract them, nothing to attract them away from what is right before them. They're not going to be easily distracted. They're not going to be easily dissuaded or persuaded to come away from this. God's got their attention. Now, it may or may not happen like us, like this, for us today. The truth is, God still sends angels. For sure he sends angels. But the greatest truth of all, is that God himself came. And God himself still comes. God still comes to the ordinary people in ordinary places. He comes in ordinary and extraordinary ways. It matters not how he comes. What matters is that when he comes, we give him our attention and we respond. That's the point. That's what God is saying to us through these shepherds. Shock and awe. And then there's look and listen from verses 10 to 14. Look and listen. Well, how could you fail to look and listen at what is happening? And the angel says, fear not, for behold, behold. And that's not just an old English word that's thrown in there. It is an actual Greek word that says, come on, focus in. Focus in on this. Behold. Behold. Look. Give it your full attention. So the angel appears and begins to speak. And what amazes me is this. I'm amazed that they heard anything at all. Aren't you? I'm amazed that the shepherds heard anything at all, that they were able to understand and process the message because of the magnitude of what they were experiencing. But you see, that is the nature of true spiritual encounter with God, isn't it? That's what needs to happen. That no matter how great the spiritual experience is, that we need to hear. We need to hang around and understand that God is speaking. He's saying something. And no matter how great the worship, what we call worship, singing worship unto God, no matter how great that experience is, if we don't come away from that, knowing and understanding and hearing the voice of God, then we've missed the whole point of it. We worship him and we enjoy worshiping him and we love worship. We love the music. We love the lyrics that glorify him. And we come away hearing something, seeing something, being impacted by something. If you don't, it's merely emotionalism. That's all it can be. But the true nature of spiritual encounter is that we hear him. We hear his voice. That's how it's supposed to work. When he comes, we see something and we hear something and we understand something. Notice that the angel doesn't command the shepherds to do anything. He doesn't command them. He doesn't bully them. Doesn't point and say, come on, get up and get going. The angel doesn't do that. Their response is assumed. And it's expected. Verse 12. This is what the angel says. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But there's no command. There's no go and come on, hurry up. It's just like when I tell you this, you are going to want to do this. When I give you this news, wild horses are not going to stop you from going to see this child. I mean, who's not going to enthusiastically respond and immediately to that? Well, sadly, there are many. King Herod is the archetype, the original, the forerunner of all who reject Christ. and the true meaning of Christmas. He was none too happy when the wise men came. All of Jerusalem was disturbed. Herod, suspicious, defensive, insecure, wanting to guard his own throne. These are the kind of people that are not happy when they hear of another king who has come. But here's the thing about the shepherds. They had truly encountered God. They had heard a message from God. And they didn't need to be cajoled or bullied or shoved or pushed into an appropriate response. They readily and rapidly responded. The challenge is plain, is it not, for us? It's plain. What have we heard? What have we seen? What has God shown to us? Do we need to be pushed along, dragged along, you know, bullied, guilt-tripped, whatever it is that makes us do the stuff? Or is there something that's been born in our hearts because we've met God? We've seen him, we've heard him, we know that we're saved, and it's amazing grace, and it's still amazing. And it grows even more amazing. Because he's awesome, and he's touched our lives, and he doesn't have to prod us and poke us. And we don't have to be incentivized to follow Jesus, because he's the king. That's the challenge that comes from the story and from these nobody shepherds. Third point, prove and proclaim from verses 15 to 20. True faith needs to be proved to be true. In verses 15 to 20, we see them proving the reality of their faith and proclaiming the praises of God. The angel goes. And all the angels go, the multitude of them go. And the darkness reigns again. And here they are. And they say to one another, well, what are we standing here for? Let's go, that's not in the Greek. Let's go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Obedience proves the genuineness of faith, like nothing else does. Along with fruitfulness, obedience proves the genuineness of faith. You can see right into the hearts of these shepherds by looking at their eager response. You can see their love for the Lord. You can see their desire and their hopes, and they pursue this. And can you see this? All that's needed is a hint. Not a heavy command, just a hint for these shepherds to respond. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He guides me with his eye. Just with a look. Have you ever been directed? Possibly you have. By a look? By someone just looking at you in that kind of certain way? A look can communicate so much. If looks could kill, I'd be dead several times. But just a look, And he guides me with his eye. He guides me with a look. He guides me just with a hint. Because you know, that's all that is required of a heart that is attuned and sensitive and alive and alert to God. That's all that's required. Just a look. But something is ignited within their hearts. An eagerness, zeal, joy, faith-inspired anticipation, and off they go with haste. Now we need to pause here a minute and think. Now, we might be tempted to think, well, you know, if angels were to appear to me like that today, I'd be as enthusiastic as they were. Anybody think along those lines? Well, pretty spectacular, is it not? But if we say that, then what are we actually saying? Has God not given us something far superior than an angelic visitation? Seriously, need to answer that question in our own hearts. There's a book in the Bible called Hebrews. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus is better. Line them all up. Whoever they are, the great and the good, and the writer starts with angels. Jesus is better than the angels. Isn't the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God better than angels? Isn't having intimate fellowship with God in His Word better than an angelic visitation? Yes, God sends angels. Yes, He does. They are ministering spirits sent forth to serve us. And we have entertained angels unawares, the Bible says. Amazing things. And God sends angels. He communicates through angels. And it's awesome and it's spectacular and it's of God. But sometimes we can look so much for the spectacular that we miss God in the so-called ordinary. In the sitting down and the opening up of a Bible and the opening up of a heart. And the meshing together in intimate fellowship with the King of Glory. The King of Glory speaks to us. He knows our name. He touches us. He feeds us. He encourages us. Isn't that pretty spectacular? Proclaiming the praises of God is the evidence of faith fulfilled in these shepherds. The goal of faith and the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I said earlier that the angels appear just as they are, how they have always been, glorious, bright, spectacular, beaming with the glory of God, their radiance filling the night skies. But God, when God appeared, He appeared as He had never been, as a baby in a manger. As they looked upon the baby in the manger wrapped in swaddling bands, the terror the shepherds experienced earlier was gone. Gone, banished, replaced by wonder and joy-filled praise. In their joy, they came near. They came close. This is the grace of God in the face of a babe in a manger. The infinite infant cradled in a cattle trough. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. I want us to see that the veiling of the eternal Son of God in the flesh was and is a supreme act of mercy and grace. For if he had not been veiled in flesh, the sheer brilliance of his unveiled glory would have been so overwhelming that no one would have been able to bear his holy presence. No one. Think upon it. The shepherds could hardly bear the sight of holy angels. What would have become of them if they had seen the unveiled glory and majesty of God? This is a mercy. This is grace that he came veiled in flesh. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said to Moses, Moses, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it, Moses. But I'll do this. I'll give you as much as you can cope with for now. You want to see the glory of God? God has given us what we can cope with right now. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. We need to look afresh at the Christmas story. In these days of darkness, more than ever, we need to look again and we need to listen again and be utterly amazed again. In conclusion, we learn some vital lessons about God's plans and his purposes from his dealings with the most ordinary, even the most overlooked and unremarkable people. And in biblical terms, you can't get much more ordinary, more overlooked, and more unremarkable than shepherds. A few things as we close. First thing we learn is this. Every journey of faith begins in darkness. Darkness is all we have in and of ourselves. And left to our own devices, we'll always gravitate towards darkness to one degree or another. And the Lord, of course, knows that. That's why he comes to us. He always comes to us just where we are. The Lord is the light of our salvation. He is the light that shines in the dark places. The second thing we'll learn is this, that when he comes, he speaks. We take note that the shepherds listened intently to the message. The third thing we learn is they overcame their slavish fears and learned what it meant to truly fear the Lord. Fourth thing we learn is this. They responded to the message. Their heart was set to obey, to press on, to know the fullness of what was promised. They weren't content to stay where they were and merely reflect on an amazing angelic encounter. They didn't go off on a round-the-world tour telling everyone how they saw angels, and it was all about angels, and it was all about this, and how this, and sell their books. It wasn't about the angels. The fifth thing we learn is this. They kept the focus on Jesus, not the spectacular event of seeing the sky filled with angels. In verse 17, it says, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. That's where the focus was. And they kept the focus on the child. It was all about Jesus. The sixth thing we learn is this. That they went out and told everyone what they had seen and heard concerning this child. They couldn't keep it in. They told people. And lastly, it says in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. But they returned. They returned where? Well, they returned to their flock. They returned to their ordinary lives, their everyday lives. That's where they returned. But they returned changed, filled with wonder, faith, light, and hope. And what of the next night? And the night after that? Yes. Darkness would come, but the darkness would never again be as deep as it was before. Never. And we can apply that to our own lives. Before we were saved, the darkness was so deep. And yes, we will experience times of darkness. Absolutely, we will. Jesus said we will, and we have to be prepared for it. But the darkness is different. It can never be as dark as it was before we knew Jesus. Never. And so they returned. They had seen a great light. That light had shone upon them in the darkest of places, in the deep darkness in the land that Matthew tells us was under the shadow of death. And the light was the light of the world. And that light can never be extinguished. Never. In our ordinariness, in these jars of clay, know this, we carry a light, we carry a flame that will never be extinguished. Go, shine the light. Shepherds of God, shine the light. Let's pray, shall we? Just as we come to break bread this morning, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer as we continue to worship the Lord in song. Lord, we thank you that you stepped down from heaven into this dark world. We thank you that you took notice of the nobodies, of the inconsequential, just like us. We thank you that you've shown yourself to us in Jesus. We thank you that you've opened up our eyes and our ears. We thank you that you've captured our hearts. And Lord, we pray that again this Christmas season, you would truly capture our hearts. That our response would be that of the shepherds, eagerly, joyfully, hurriedly, fully excited, fully and enthusiastically coming to the King and then proclaiming the glory of who you are. Lord, let that be our prayer and our experience this Christmas time. And as the year to come unfolds, let us be children of the light. In Jesus' name. And your Amen. Love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.